My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio.
Welcome to another Bad Time Radio episode. This week, it was kind of Rahul's turn to pick, but he wanted us to watch The Conqueror starring John Wayne. And it turns out that movie is very, like, not hard to come by, but harder than we cared to deal with to come by. So
you can't stream it.
Yeah. So it's, and Ronald refused my offer to buy him a DVD. And in fact, said that if I did that, he would come to my house and cover all of the walls in poop, spelling out racial slurs, which, very strange threat, but he did make it. I mean, he didn't, but I interpreted certain things he said as him threatening
me. And also, Lawrence seemed to be thrilled by the prospect of that.
Yeah. Well, anyways, so we'll deal with our psychosexual dynamics later.
Or at least the racial slurs part.
No, I maintain it was the poop.
Yeah, anyways. Lawrence has a poop thing. It's been almost a minute, and Lawrence circled back to poop, as usual.
Yeah, anyways, so somehow, I don't really remember, because you guys were texting a lot, but this somehow ended up with us, Ronald picking XXX State of the Union for us to watch. So we did. And we've got Brandon, because he's who do we get when we're watching a shitty action movie from the 90s or 2000s? Brandon.
Look, okay, yeah. Here's what happened. I'll tell you guys what happened. How I picked
please
explain yourself, Ronald. Yourself.
All right. I got annoyed at The Conqueror because I said I wasn't going to buy a DVD of a shitty movie that I didn't even really want to watch in the first place. So when I made my pick, I knew that they were going to be like, I don't want to watch that one. So I picked three movies and said they could each veto one. And I don't remember what the three movies were.
More
this
Legends.
This is the one we came down to.
And something else.
Yeah, and I remember Mortal Legends. I actually kind of wanted to watch. I think that movie might not be good, but might be interesting. So I, you know. It's about giant cities, like, roaming around the Australian outback eating other cities. That sounds cool.
Anyway. I actually think we maybe picked the worst one of those three for this podcast. So,
well, if we can't remember the third one, it's hard to be sure.
It was Pluto Nash.
Oh.
Which we should save for a more special episode anyways.
Yeah. So anyways.
That one's like famously bad.
I guess, first of all, what's your guys' experience with XXX? Just, I mean, not porno.
I had stuff ready to
go. Or going back to poop again.
It always circles back.
Yeah. Anyways.
None. Of zero experience with XXX.
You've never seen, you didn't see XXX? Not,
no.
You weren't there when Xander Cage finally returned and our national nightmare ended?
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen the first one with Vin Diesel like once a long time ago, but I don't really remember what happens.
Ronald?
Yeah, I saw the first one, and I think that's why I said we should get Brandon for this one, because I kind of remember talking to him about it a really long time ago.
Oh, let me guess. You guys were talking about how much attitude Xander Cage had. You're like,
I actually specifically recall us talking about the X-ray binoculars he had, because he could like zoom through different levels of X-rayness, which, I mean, it doesn't make any sense from like a functionality, or it doesn't make any sense from like how X-rays actually work. But as far as like X-ray binoculars, that's like the ideal way of them working.
Yeah, and I think he uses it to look at a woman's butt, but he's not allowed to look at more than that because the movie's only rated PG-13.
Like,
yeah, I don't fully recall.
That, like her bones?
No, I mean, like, never mind. I'm talking about her sexy, sexy intestines.
In her butt, the poop.
Anyways, as for me, I saw XXX once when I was... my dad took me. My dad was very sold on it. And I was like 13 or so I should have been the ideal demographic for XXX. But somehow, something about it, I'm like, this is pandering to me a little too hard. So I turned on the movie pretty hard and decided it sucked. I think if I watched it now I'm pretty cool with the movie pandering to me, because I realized, what's a movie pandering to you? It's showing you things you like. And what's wrong with seeing a thing you like? But so I might like it more now. But at the time, I mean, it was a movie where it's like, I'm going to show you a bunch of like Aja Argento and Skippy clothing. And somehow that made me angry as a horny 13-year-old. So, you know. Yeah, not great. Oh, and I never saw the return of Xander Cage. Although I am going to keep doing weird jokes about how Xander Cage is a messianic figure and his return is sort of the rapture. Because I think they're funny. They're not, but
They are. No, they're really funny.
I was kind of hoping that this movie would be really good for this podcast and we could do like another series, but this movie sucked and I don't know if I want to do another Triple X movie.
You know, Ronald keeps bailing on friggin' bad franchises and I don't understand it. I really don't. Or yeah. Wanting to bail on them.
What other bad franchises did I bail on?
Well, you didn't bail on it, you just wanted to.
Yeah, you keep threatening to quit the Resident Evil rewatch. You're like,
oh, it's so bad.
Or at least refusing.
Oh, I wish I wasn't friends with people who liked it so much. Oh, that Rahul, he's so handsome, but he's also like stupid for liking Resident Evil.
Those are all actual quotes I've said. But okay, I will say I think Resident Evil lends itself to this kind of podcast better because it has more stupid things happening in it.
Yeah.
Say what you will about Resident Evil, it takes much wilder swings than Triple X would ever like dare to. You know,
I mean, how could it? The premise is a lot, you know, less.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like a lot of the things that happen in Resident Evil wouldn't be out of place in a James Bond movie. It's just all of them couldn't be in the same James Bond movie the way they are with Resident Evil. You know, but like if there was a James Bond movie about evil clones, you wouldn't like think it was that weird. Especially if it happened during the Pierce Brosnan era where they were sillier, you know? Or James Bond fighting zombies, you'd have to lay some groundwork for, but I still think you could kind of do like super soldier toxin that drives people insane.
I think this movie is wild enough that they could have done some really crazy stuff, but they tried to stick to like basically a normal spy kind of plot. And it's like, why? You know? Have Deckard be a cartoonishly evil villain who wants to nuke, you know, Chicago or something. Like, have Xander Cage go up in a fucking jet and shoot down the nuke and have to fight off, you know, 20 different military vehicles. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways, I guess let's go around and would you recommend this? Although I don't think there's going to be many surprises. So, Ronald, I think you hated it the most.
I don't, you know, okay. I will give my recommendation. I don't recommend this movie, but I actually don't think it's like that terrible. It's the problem with this movie is that it doesn't swing hard enough, so it doesn't fail hard enough, and it also doesn't really do anything that great, so it's just kind of boring. Although I will say the stunts in this movie are really good, or at least like the vehicle stunts, which there are a lot of. There's just like a lot of explosions and them like jumping cars and driving on train tracks, stuff that doesn't make any sense. And there's not really good context for it, so it's not really that interesting. But if you're just looking for that kind of stuff, it's like not that bad. But the acting in this and the script in this is boring, and the acting in this is terrible. It really sets it up to just be kind of boring to me. I was very bored by like the last 50%. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but it's not the worst time you can spend your time. It's just also not the greatest for this kind of format, I think.
So I'm going to go next. I'm giving this a mild recommendation. The stunts are pretty good, and this is at a point where they're still mostly practical. And a couple of the sequences, like, there's one where he's, like, driving a tank around the inside of an aircraft carrier, and it's sort of like, well, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's not, you know, incredible, but it's pretty good. And there's some, like, weird business with a boat where jumping up on a bridge where I think they might have actually jumped the boat onto the bridge, stuff like that. And then Ice Cube is... He gives a very, I mean, it's a terrible performance because aside from this brief period where for some reason he puts on a Southern accent and pretends to be a reverend, he's everything he does, he's either sort of like scowling or sort of like giving a weird kind of like condescending shit eating grin or like smirk. He smirks or smirks or glowers. Those are the two things he does. And everything is in the same tone of voice that he like sort of always, you always associate with Ice Cube. So it's just really weird to see like that character in sort of a spy movie. And they kind of try to play with that and like have him be like, you know, an urban James Bond, if you will, or whatever the fuck. But they don't really succeed very much because that part is stupid. But it's still like kind of weird to watch and misbegotten and I don't know. If you ever wanted to see Ice Cube try to like seduce a woman with that same like thing that he does in, man, I can't. I wish I had an impression of him, but it's too dicey.
But, yeah. Probably good call. But, yeah,
do it.
Let Rahul take care of that one.
Yeah, anyways,
yeah, give Brandon, me the line. Give me the line. I'll do it.
Hey, baby. Will you do anything for me? Or I'll, the woman's like, I'll do anything for you. And then he's got to go, anything? Except not that. Oh. Not at all that. Why did I think it was that? I'm like, well, he mostly talks out of the side of his mouth. So if I mostly talk out of the side of the my mouth, I'll sound like him. And I was wrong. Anyways. Well, yeah. Would you like to take a swing at what Ice Cube sounds like when he says anything? I will cut it.
He's
if it goes
anything, like really angry.
Well, yeah, that does sound like something he'd say, but that is not at all how he said that.
I don't know what he said. But... No, I remember what he said, and it was very stupid. He was like, "Try 20." I was like, "What are you talking about?
Are you saying that that's what he said when the woman had said she'd do anything?"
No. He said, "What about fries and a shake?"
I'm just mocking his character because it's so stupid.
Yeah,
such a, like a shallow view of like what it doesn't matter. No, I do not recommend this movie. I thought it sucked. There was only a single good scene in this movie, in my opinion.
What scene was that?
That was the part where he launches the tank at the other tank. I was impressed, actually. I was like, oh, I didn't think about that. I didn't expect that. That was good. You know, using the steam catapult on the carrier. Otherwise, the acting was just so bad. Normally, I'm okay with it, but it was just like so. I don't know. Ice Cube was supposed to be like have attitude, right? And it didn't come across as attitude to me. It just came across as like like a sullen teenager.
It's kind of attitude.
I guess it's attitude. It was, you know, it just, I don't know.
It wasn't enjoyable. Imposing.
I don't know what you're saying, man. They specifically say that he has more attitude than Xander Cage. And then the other guy in the car says, I don't even think that's possible. And then he's like, no, it is. And then they get Ice Cube. So he must have a lot of attitude.
Plenty of attitude.
Yeah. Do you think they had to add that line in? Because they were like, God, Ice Cube's performance is so flat. Let's try and convince the audience that he's like real full of attitude or something.
What if we put in this line where we try to convince them that he's just... He has such a bad attitude that he refuses to like share his emotions with the world. And that's why they should have put in a line where they're like, oh, let's get the autistic guy. Boom. Problem solved.
You have an emotionally unhealthy attitude, Mr. Cube. Is the real. Yeah. Maybe it's just because I saw Ice Cube in like...
Let me guess. Are we there yet?
So I think of him as like a funny guy, you know, like maybe that was infecting my opinion of him.
But it's like, I think 22 Jump Street, like he's playing the same character, but they just cut around him better. You know, the other actors play off of him.
He kind of has, I think, the Danny Trejo thing, really, where actually Danny Trejo has some range, but basically he's not really an actor. He's just got this very specific presence that he brings, and you can use that for comic effect by just putting him in a situation where it's incongruous or will make like the other person uncomfortable, but he's not really like acting, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I want to hear Brandon's opinion on the movie.
Well, so first of all, I 100% thought this was going to be Raul's recommendation going into it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. It just seemed like the kind of thing that like kind of action movie that you would recommend, and I thought it was going to be like kind of fun, but I think I pretty much have to like echo everything Ronald said, which is just that it just ended up not really being bad so much as boring, and I was a little bit like wondering what are we going to talk about. I think there are two interesting things. One is that the tank launching, like Raul said, that was pretty cool, like a pretty cool idea with the, you know, jet fighter slingshot thing. But there was another one with which like we could talk about when we do like low points and high points, which is the multiple ways that you can look at Gibbons faking his death. It's like this weird like peeling the onion thing. Overall I just felt like it went from like really bland like two line exchanges, like just kind of lurching from one to the next, and Yeah, I don't know. And yeah, Willem Dafoe like wasn't that crazy of a villain or anything. I don't know.
They didn't even really give him a monologue. I guess he has that like one scene with Samuel L, but they're both underplaying it pretty bad. They needed to like let him. What they should have done is after he hustles the president off and thinks he's dead, he delivers the State of the Union, and it's just a full on supervillain speech.
Oh, that would have been great.
Yeah, that would have been incredible.
Yes.
The State of the Union is terrifying because I'm in charge now. I'm something of a dictator myself.
Yeah, transplant his character from Speed 2 into this, and I think it'd be a lot more fun.
Like, my healthcare plan? Leeches for everyone.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, send a big boat after the fucking, at Washington, D.C. or something.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
My defense plan also leeches for everybody. Now that I'm president, I can let you in on a secret. I'm in the pocket of big leech. Anyways, and so on.
Which is buyaleech.com.
Yeah, whatever it was.
It was just leech.com. They have very strong SEO. Yeah. Anyways, I guess let's get to the fucking summary.
All right.
It is Brandon.
Surprise.
I'm willing to jump on the bullet. I'm willing to jump on this bullet if you want, Brandon.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Everyone right. Pause.
Yeah, let me.
So, give me a countdown and then. Here. Countdown?
Yeah, I'll give you a countdown. Ready?
Yeah, and give me 2 minutes.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
So we open on like a dude and he's like going into a stable and there's a bunch of corpses on the ground and then he's attached by ninjas who kill him and then use like bombs to burn holes in the ground where it turns out there's an NSA bunker populated or something. I don't fucking know. Populated by one Samuel L. Jackson, and the ninjas kill everyone except Samuel L. Jackson because only he can like combat them. But Samuel L. realizes there's just too many ninjas, so he flees in a supercar. And then he's like, okay, I need to reactivate the XXX program and get an even better guy. And he spends a lot of time bantering with his number two about how the last XXX sucked and was a pussy. And then eventually he's like, I'm going to get Ice Cube. So he breaks Ice Cube out of prison. Ice Cube in this is the best Navy SEAL there ever was and got drummed out of the army for refusing to massacre civilians, which is very unrealistic to me. But anyways... and he's like, but then Samuel L. Jackson like gets murdered by Willem Dafoe. So Ice Cube has to figure out what's going on. And turns out Willem Dafoe, who is the Secretary of Defense, is like planning a coup because this president's trying to like reduce the military defense budget and like give peace a chance, which Willem Dafoe can't have. There's a bunch of mid-grade to good action sequences and like nominally comedic bits where Ice Cube goes undercover, and eventually Ice Cube teams up with Exhibit and a bunch of pretty stereotypical gangsters or gangstas, I'd say, to attack the State of the Union because Willem Dafoe is going to attack it as well, and he's going to frame Samuel L. Jackson, who it turns out his death got faked his death got faked somehow. I'm not sure who was behind it. But then Ice Cube goes in and he saves the president. Well, he saves everyone but the president. And then the president and Willem Dafoe go on a bullet train to the Capitol and Ice Cube chases in a supercar. And then they're about to fight, but the movie abruptly cuts to black and then credits roll. And I think everyone did die, although I am not sure.
What?
My wife claims I fell asleep. I refuse to. I think that was just a movie.
Yep, everyone died at the end.
It cut accurate. To black, so it could have also been a cliffhanger. But then the next movie doesn't feature Ice Cube, so I assume this just takes place in a world where the president and Ice Cube both died in a bullet train.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yep. And I guess Deckard, too?
Yep. That's cool. Yeah. Deckard is Willem Dafoe, I think.
No, yes, that's right.
All right. Anyways, let's get to some high points, I guess, which is this, this is a personal high point. I predicted before I'd seen anything in this movie that Samuel L. Jackson was going to fake his own death. And you know what?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
You were right. You were spot on.
Because he fakes his own death in he also did it in like the Marvel movies. I think the only movie I've seen recently where he actually just died for real was the one where he like got into a fight with King Kong and lost.
Oh yeah. Was that Skull Island?
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know. Brandon, you had some theories on this, though. Did he actually fake his death?
So maybe I misunderstood or missed something, but I thought that what happened was very weird because, like, Willem Dafoe and his little, like, second-in-command guy jump him when he's at his house recovering some information that he had hidden there. And they have this, like, conversation, and eventually they're like, yeah, they're going to kill him, get rid of him, take care of him, whatever. And then it cuts to them out being outside in the car. As they drive away, the house explodes. And so you think, okay, yeah, Deckard wanted to kill him, you know, to kind of like, you know, tie up all the loose ends so that he can go forward with his plan. Because, you know, Gibbons, Sam Jackson was like one of the people that knew him from the before times and whatever. So he's trying to get rid of all those people that wouldn't know him from the past, that weren't loyal to him. And so, yeah, it looks like they wanted to kill him. But then, yeah, you're thinking like, oh, I bet he did escape and he faked his death and he's going to come back at the end. Well, then it turns out that, yes, he is alive, but it's because they faked his death so that they could implicate him in the coup and then fake his death during the coup so they could pin it on him.
Yeah, which is like, but won't everyone be confused because they already think he's dead?
Yeah.
So, like... why is this so needlessly complicated? And also,
they're trying to make it seem like he faked his death.
Yeah,
but
only like the audience members that would make sense to.
Exactly,
it doesn't make sense to like the general public. They're like,
did he need to have faked his death from the general public standpoint?
He wasn't in trouble or anything, right?
And also, from the public standpoint, he was like
he's a hero,
an honored soldier that like Deckard spoke at his funeral.
So well, I think from the public standpoint, he doesn't exist because, you know, he's not like famous enough. But I guess from the people in D.C.,
sure. The public isn't, you know, everyone in the movie outside of the audience and like Stone and Deckard and the main guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. It made no sense. It just felt like too many like fake twists that like. We're trying to be like, whoa, look, you didn't expect this. So I didn't get it.
Yep.
If Gibbons was alive, if he did fake his own death and he wasn't captured, then it's like, well, where is he then? Why did he meet back up with Darius then?
Also, so, I don't understand how he ended up running the XXX program because his backstory is that his commander told him to commit a war crime. And he said no and ran into a burning building to try to save the civilians that his commander had set on fire. And then he, I guess, went MIA. And I just don't see how you could end up running a like top secret black ops program if you're like MIA from the army. If you're still using like your real name and identity and stuff and are a public figure, like where the president shows up at your funeral, you know?
Yeah, don't ask me on that.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Yeah, I got another one, which this one's stupider. Well, I guess the first 10 minutes of this movie are just basically people over and over and over talking about what a pussy Xander Cage is. And I don't know why that's the case. Like, I looked on Wikipedia and apparently Vin Diesel did decline to come back from this because he thought the script was bad, which, yeah, good instincts. But the first 10 minutes, they're like, okay, we need a guy. First off, Samuel L. Jackson's like, no, we don't need a surfer or a skater or, you know, a parachuter or whatever. And it's like, yeah, you don't. Why did you think you did need those things?
Yeah, you didn't need those in the first one either.
Yeah. And then
I guess there is one scene where he snowboards, I think, because they're like at some like mountain base in Russia.
I think his backstory is essentially that it's the standard thing where the bad guy's got a weird niche interest. So they get a celebrity with that niche interest to infiltrate. And then the celebrity ends up doing weird spy stuff. You know, that like old hack plot.
And it's like Point Break.
Or the unbearable weight of massive talent. Or that one where like I Spy, where it's like a tennis star, you know?
Hmm.
And then he's like, no, we need someone even more dangerous and with more attitude. And the first guy's like, with more attitude, as previously mentioned, and it's Ice Cube. And then Samuel L. Jackson goes in and tries to give Ice Cube the same speech he gave to Xander Cage, except Ice Cube's like, that's bullshit. It's not working on me. So implying that Xander Cage is an idiot for letting it work on him. And then they mentioned that Xander Cage died in Bora Bora, I think. And yeah. a guy comments on how he wishes he could go to Bora Bora.
Bora Bora is the underground tunnel thing?
Nah, it's just like a nice tropical island.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, well, it seems really weird nowadays. Like, I don't think that they would do this anymore. But, back in the day, I think, you know, like, movies didn't sign people for, like, 9-picture deals when they signed, like, a possible franchise or when they made a possible franchise. So, like, the actor could just, like, refuse to come back for the second one. But it does seem like movie production companies would get really annoyed when they didn't do this. Like, in Speed 2, it was the same deal. Like, when Keanu didn't come back, they, like, shit-talked his character a bunch.
Yeah, they made them into a bad boyfriend and had Sandy B be like, I shouldn't date guys like that, and then had her date a guy who was clearly just, you know, we've got Keanu at home.
And this also happened in one of the Transformers movies when, like, Megan Fox didn't return.
Or it also very famously happened with 2 1/2 Men after Charlie Sheen went crazy. They, I think they literally had they were having a funeral for his character and they eulogized, like, what a small penis he had.
Yeah, and it's just like, I mean... You know, I guess in some cases, like, you've already cut ties with them. There's no way they're coming back. But, like, in the case of this movie, like, really, did they... What if they thought that this might be, like, a serious franchise? Why would they try to cut that much with Vin Diesel at this point? I don't know. I mean, maybe there was bad blood or something.
But... Yeah, there was an email thread that went wrong. And, you know, it turned into this.
They forgot that you need to include an exclamation point because otherwise it sounds really passive aggressive and been took it the wrong way. And next thing you know, he's not in the movie.
Like nowadays, I do feel like if they made this, they would be like hinting so much that Xander Cage might show up and they would probably get like Vin Diesel at least for a cameo.
And they'd have a stinger sequence at the end where he's like, oh, you need a little help?
Exactly. Then, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I do.
And like, dude, there was seriously one part. This is so stupid. But they like steal a helicopter and they're like, oh yeah, I stole it from that guy. And he points over to this guy who's like slumped over and asleep, who is the old pilot. But he's like a bald white guy. And for a second I was like, is that Vin Diesel? Like, because they only show him for a second, and I was like, it looked uncanny to me for a second. I was like, what the hell? He's in this? And
the funniest cameo you can do. Just a passed out guy in the background.
Why is he a helicopter pilot? But
I guess it's not the closest thing I could think of to that is that Jimmy Olsen is in Batman versus Superman for like 10 seconds and then gets murdered by a terrorist. And Zack Snyder thought that was a fun little Easter egg for the fans.
Yeah. That's not surprising, though.
Yeah.
I think this movie would have been a lot better with Vin Diesel, honestly.
Oh, dude. It would have been. I mean... He's not a good actor, but he is far better than I see him.
Yeah, he doesn't.
I think he can be a good actor when he tries to be. He just never really bothers because the movies he's in ask him to do that weird, like, semi-ironic masculinity thing he does and nothing else.
When has he tried?
Have you ever seen Find Me Guilty?
Uh-uh.
It's like a courtroom mob drama where he plays a mob boss who essentially sort of, I think he ends up defending himself. And it's based on a real incident. And it's a pretty funny Vin Diesel performance of just him like cutting loose and actually playing a real guy for once. And also Band of Brothers, I think.
And Saving Private Ryan. He was fantastic.
Right. Saving Private Ryan.
But he's a pretty minor role in that. But
yeah, but he was still good.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. That's true.
And also Pitch Black is, I guess, the best he's ever been at doing the Vin Diesel thing, although still not quite acting.
Or Chronicles of Riddick, maybe.
Nah, Chronicles, I mean, okay, Chronicles of Riddick, he might be good in, but he's also, like, man, he's too wrapped up in, like, the things that are shitty about that movie for me ever to give it, like, a pass.
When are we going to do the Pitch Black Chronicles of Riddick series?
And then the third movie that no one remembers exists?
Yeah, I don't know if I ever saw the third
one. What is that one?
It's just called Riddick. Apparently, the Necromongers got angry at him for not doing enough necromongering, so he got deposed, and he just does Pitch Black again, I think.
Yeah.
Weird. They should make a Chronicles of Ribbit. I think that'd be...
Where it's just a frog?
He does sound kind of like a frog.
You're right.
Anyone else got fun?
I have a high point.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever experienced this, but streaming this movie on HBO Max... It was all fucked up. I've never seen a movie that was messed up on a streaming platform.
How is that a high point about this movie? It's just barely about this movie.
You know? I'm sorry, but I like my horizons being expanded somewhat, you know, to a safe degree. And
what are you talking about? you're saying it was a high point that they fucked up the movie editing on one of the streaming platforms, and so you're like, when
I was like, how could the movie be like this? Because it was like so zoomed in.
Yeah, zoomed in.
Like, it's, people's faces were like chopped in half.
Clearly what happened is they got the 4x3 version of the movie, and then they just cut it down to 16x9. They just like sliced off the top and bottom. So just zoomed in for no reason.
Like, I was ready to be like, this is the worst movie I've ever seen.
It's gotta be one of the laziest things I've ever seen. Max did this with The Simpsons, but I think The Simpsons doesn't have 16x9 versions.
Yeah. Oh,
I have no idea.
Right.
Like, no, they did this weird like pseudo letterbox thing on them, and it cut some jokes and everyone was angry.
I'm pretty positive they did the exact same thing on this movie, but this movie has a 16x9 version. So it's so much, much lazier.
Like, ah, fuck, no one's going to watch
yeah,
this.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God.
Just run it through the standard pipeline.
What no a piece of shit platform.
So
Brandon, do you have any high points that are actually fucking high points and not minor streaming service fuck ups?
Not really. I mean, like, my two things were, like I said, I liked the launching of the tank. That was pretty clever. But
yeah,
I don't know.
I guess you want to do, let's do some fucking.
Well, I got it. Oh yeah, go ahead, Brandon.
So actually, I guess I thought of one other thing. So they did the thing in the beginning where, like, Sam Jackson tries to give a speech to Ice Cube to recruit him. I think there might be one other like speech moment. But then at the end, when they're getting all the like gangsters, as Lawrence put it, together to assault the Capitol's assault, Ice Cube is talking to Exhibit, and he gives him a speech about he doesn't need to do it to be a patriot and, you know, defend the red, white, and blue. He needs to do it to defend his American way of life, which is the freedom to jack any cars that he wants or something like that. And Exhibit's like, yeah, that's a good point.
You're not free to do that, dude.
Yeah, I mean, this guy
very, and then like the NSA, like the NSA agent that he's working with at this point is just standing there and just like, okay.
No, wasn't he like, that's a good speech?
Yeah, yeah, he did say that. But it was like, I guess, you know, it's like, you know what? That's outside of my purview. I don't care. You know?
Yeah.
I'm here to do like drug crimes, car crimes. Doesn't matter.
You know, later on, a little bit later, Exhibit says, don't worry about the tank or leave the tanks to us. If it's got wheels, we can jack it. And you know what? No, tanks don't have wheels. I mean, they kind of do, but it's a weird philosophical point about whether they have wheels or not, man. Don't make me think about your one-liners.
So good.
I learned that that's true in Miami or in GTA Vice City.
If it's true, well,
you can jack the tank.
Yeah, and it turns out they can actually jack the tank. And one of the more unrealistic scenes where they somehow have a hydraulic jack that appears to have no external power but can still lift up, you know, like a 40-ton tank. And then they have some kind of, like, cutting tool that can get through the hatch. And then the soldiers that, just...
A big enough jack? Jack can lift a surprising amount.
Okay, but did
you I can lift it with more hands.
I think the most unrealistic thing is the fact that they showed it lifting it so quickly that it was like it was powered. But yeah, like it probably would have been possible to, you know, if you had like a million pumps, you could slowly pick it up.
I think that would probably have to be like a jack in the garage, not a thing you can put in the back of your jacked up SUV while you're going and chasing down a tank.
Dude, that SUV was infuriating. It was so ugly. I'm like, why couldn't they have chosen like a nicer looking one? Like, it's not even lifted properly.
Yeah. I got another high point, which is at one point, Ice Cube says that Givens is gearing up for World War IV. And I'm like, what does he know that I don't know?
Right. I was like, wait, what year did this movie come out?
Thing, right?
But like, I mean,
oh, yeah, is this pre-9/11?
But it's also like World War III makes sense. Does this take place in a world where World War III happened?
And... I mean, maybe the idea is that Gibbons is just a massive warmonger.
But even so, you'd be gearing up for World War III, unless he's like two steps ahead, so he's already geared up for World War III.
World War III was the streets.
Yeah. Oh. Exactly.
World. Now, I'm imagining, okay, so you got, it's like step up to the streets. It'll be World War III the streets. I don't know. I'm very tired.
So this movie was post 9/11.
Yeah. How post? Because they the Department of Homeland Security exists in the world of this movie. And for some reason, they also have massive quantities of like firearms that they ship around the country in civilian cargo trucks where they don't tell the drivers what they're hauling. And they disguise them as cheese.
And then they give it to the most incompetent truck drivers of all time. The
truck drivers who I'm almost positive are just stand-up comedians based on sort of the way that scene plays out.
Yep.
I'm going to say a slur now, which I apologize for. So there's two guys, they're getting held up, and one of them says, "I'm not going without a fight." And the other one says, "Don't mind him, he's retarded." And you know what? I did laugh. I shouldn't have. I did.
What the hell, dude? You should not laugh at that stuff.
And then they walk away saying, "We can't let anyone know a white guy hijacked us. If anyone asks, we're going to tell them it was 40 black dudes."
Yeah. Do you think they ad-libbed this? They were like, "You know what? Let's get some funny guys on here and they'll do this part of the script for us."
I hope so.
Because a lot of it was about how gassy and full they were after lunch or something.
Yeah. Or this guy talking about how much he wanted to go get some cheese. And then when we see the cheese, it's in those enormous, like, wax meals, so you could not actually get a slice of it.
Also, that was an improperly secure load, because they were just
chilling on the shelf. Like,
also, they were actually guns, so that's even worse.
This isn't cheese at all!
And then the other thing is that the guns were hidden in, like, the secret compartment. And that raised a lot of questions for me about, like, what exactly parts of the truck these two gentlemen own versus what, like, the hauling company provides and so on. And it raised the possibility that maybe that secret compartment was always there and they just never knew about it.
Maybe that was the trick, and those two were government employees under Gibbons' purview.
They weren't, though.
Yeah, but they were.
And they sure don't act like it.
Yeah, they were spies for the audience.
Yeah. Okay, look, I was like... Oh,
go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm doing a pivot.
Yeah. Continue.
I love the scene where they're like, he said it was on the hard drive. And I'm like,
oh,
what?
God.
What?
It was like Zoolander, but yeah. Serious.
It's like, why is that there?
And then apparently, like, Samuel L. Jackson, he's got these, like, microfiches identifying who Gibbons is targeting. So I guess he knows this entire plot, but just hadn't gotten around to stopping it yet.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like,
yeah, that's exactly. A good point. Like,
dude, just email that to the president. Right?
Or send Xander Cage to stop it. You know?
I don't even, it's just.
Or like, yeah, I thought he was like taken by surprise, but I guess not.
Like, yeah. I don't even, like, why didn't they just have it on the hard drive?
Yeah. Because that would be too simple.
Well, okay, I have a question for the lore master Brandon here. Why did they attack the NSA base at the start? Was it just to kill Gibbons?
Yeah, so I was originally going to ask you guys that, because that was never clear to me either. Like, I guess that's the only thing I could ever put together was that it was to kill Gibbons. But
it was it maybe to find the information that Gibbons hid on the hard drive?
But they already know that, because that's just who they're going to kill. And they know who they're going to kill, you know?
I mean, why? Then why?
Because, I mean, I just feel like they knew where Gibbons lived, so why didn't they just kill him at his house?
Also, if the point was to fake his death, why would they, like, go in and shoot everybody in the base?
Yeah, you know, thinking more about that, it makes... Also, this movie, like, really doesn't make any sense.
It kind of just... Because it was an operation, like, by Deckard, so then... But because it's on this NSA base, he ends up reporting it to the president, and then he's like, "Oh, you know, well, there's this whole list of suspects, and we're not sure, but, you know, I'll handle it, because obviously, like, it's already solved. He did it, and it's over." But yeah, then, like, the base just goes back to operating. It's not clear that they got anything out of it. Yeah, like, they didn't get the hard drive, if that's what they were going for. And yeah, they already knew where Gibbons lived, And I don't think Gibbons was that suspicious up to that point, like at least to where he would like not be going to his house. I don't know. It's very weird.
Yeah, it just seems weird to assault him at the like most highly protected place possible.
You know,
if that's really their goal.
Now that I'm running it back in my head, aside from I know why Ice Cube wanted to leave prison, it was so that he could eat a hamburger. I'm not sure why anyone does anything in this movie. Also, Ice Cube, truly terrible at pretending to eat a hamburger. He keeps kind of just like mashing his teeth up against it without biting anything off, and then moving his lips around over it a little bit, and then pulling back. And I'm like, has this man like never eaten before? What's going on?
Yeah, pretty embarrassing stuff, really.
Yeah.
Okay,
but I'm not finding anything on the internet that explains this. So
he also tells the burger, "Who's your daddy?"
There's this brief joke where they're like, "Okay, I want what he's like. I want what any man wants after prison." And then they're like panning over something that's like sort of sensuously lit, and he's like, "Who's your daddy?" And then it's just him eating a hamburger, which is such a weird and uncomfortable thing for his fellow diners.
Yeah, they're not even the only one. Like Samuel and the IT guy aren't even the only ones there. There's just like a regular group of people there too. It's like, stop being weird, man.
Well, he's got attitude, dude. You should accept it.
An attitude is when you low grade sexually harass everyone around you.
I don't know why this reminded me of it, but another thing that annoyed me about his like little attempts at like innuendo and whatnot is at the end when he's talking to his ex-girlfriend or whoever, Lo, she gave him that car, the custom Shelby thing to go after the president's bullet train. And there was some exchange like, oh, he said, how fast does this go? And she said, let me know. And so then he crashes it in the process of the chase, but they constantly show the speedo throughout the chase. And it's always like around 160, even like on the train tracks, which is funny. But then when they're doing their like parting scene, she's like, so how fast did it go? He's like 220, 225. Yeah. It's like, what?
Yeah,
we saw it. Like, show that. Why'd you make such like a point of showing it at 160 to have him say 220 in like this very serious way? Like, they didn't really make the scene funny.
They just made him lying to try to get into her pants.
They could have just not shown it.
I don't know.
I mean, like, can you even go 220 in a convertible like without being sucked out?
I don't think he'd be sucked out, but yeah,
it wouldn't be pleasant. I'll say that.
Probably need more than the claimed 1,000 horsepower.
Yep.
A mega
pretty,
horsepower.
Pretty weird.
I have a high point. So they walk into his ex-girlfriend's place because they need a place to hang out from her. And she's like, I think this was a scene. She's like talking to some customer. She's like, yeah, increase the blah, blah, blah by 10% or decrease it or something.
Shit.
And he's like, try 20.
That's very frequently in this movie. Like, that's apparently the only way you can convince someone is you're cool is you walk in on them while they're fixing a car and then you offer them some advice. And that, like, because that's also how the NSA guy shows that he's cool, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, how do you know how to do cars? He's like, I didn't always wear a suit. And it's like, that's not really an answer.
I've worn a suit like maybe 20 times in my life, and I know fuck all about cars, man.
Yeah, like that's like a fairly specific skill set that not like everyone who's like not a white collar worker knows.
Dang, I guess Brandon's the coolest person here because he does car stuff.
Well, how many suits does he wear?
Yeah. Oh, good question. Brandon?
Zero.
Okay.
Fuck.
Oh shit! Infinitely oh, cool.
Wait. How much attitude does he have?
Not very much.
So close. How many horsepowers do you make?
What?
Over 1,000. 25 is still pretty good for a person.
That's incredible for a person. That's like, hey, amazing. Hey. It's a god.
Let's not oversell it. Come on. Yeah. Play cool.
Oh yeah, you're right. 25, try 50. It just reminded me of that scene in one of the
Fast and Furious.
That must make 600 horsepower. Nah, 1,000.
Yeah, they're just
try
like,
2,000.
And like, I don't think any of them have any information or insight into how much horsepower like, the car actually
like
makes.
Like, they're like two helicopters, and they've like shot hooks into the car. Isn't that the scene? And Vin Diesel's like flooring it. It's totally irrelevant because horsepower does not keep your car on the ground, but whatever.
No, it's, horsepower also transits is like mass, right?
Just oh, yeah, you're right.
Maybe it's powering a suction fan.
Yeah. Yeah, the turbo points up, so it just blows him down.
He sees he's about to get lifted off, so he hits the NOS.
Honestly, that might have happened. Good joke, but...
Yeah, I mean, it might have actually happened in the movie.
Apparently, in the last one, Exhibit goes to space, so...
Really?
Dude, yeah.
No, wow. Not Exhibit.
Who does? Oh, goddammit, am I a racist? Yeah.
Ludacris and Tyrese Gibson.
Oh, I my god, Lawrence. Their raps are so different. Jesus.
I've definitely heard both of them rap. No, I need the it's very simple. Exhibit was in XXX. Ludacris was in Luda Crash. That's how you can tell them apart.
Oh, yeah. Was
Luda, is that an actual movie?
Well, he was just in Crash. Crash.
Yeah, remember he briefly toys with enslaving some Chinese people before deciding against it.
In Crash?
And therefore being a good person.
Yep.
I don't remember that. Is that the one where...
It's the one where we're all a little bit racist, but we're working on it.
Yeah.
Yep. And also Michael Peña or whatever is like the worst father of all time because his girl or his daughter lives in like he lives in this like neighborhood.
Oh,
where
I have
apparently,
seen this movie then.
Yeah, he lives in a neighborhood where apparently gunfire is quite common. So he tells his girl or his little daughter that she's immune to bullets. And then she almost comes to a bad end and it's like, well yeah, don't tell her she's immune to bullets, idiot.
That does not make him a bad father. He was trying to make her feel better in the house. He didn't think that this would turn into her being shot.
Rahul, I put it to you. If I somehow convince you that you are immune to stabbing, the first thing you would do is go get a knife and try to stab yourself.
Well, the kid is not going to have access to a gun, presumably, and not going to shoot itself.
Well, hopefully.
Anyways, fuck it. I don't know. Does anyone have
I got one more high point. I got one more high point before we move on to low points, I guess.
No, this is low points, dude.
Okay, well,
missed the vote.
I don't fucking
fine,
know.
Fine, I don't care anymore. I'm just going to do a low point then. There's a character in this. I don't even remember her name. She's a blonde girl.
Charlie?
Oh, yeah.
The one that everyone, like, both Charlie of the male something. Leads keep calling a bitch over, like, pretty frequently in a way that's pretty gross.
Yeah, and I feel like Gibbons is the one who tells Stone to like trust her or like get information from her, but then she immediately like turns out to be a spy. And there's this really awkward scene where she's trying to like seduce Stone to like I guess gain his trust, but they're already at a point where she's basically checkmated him, so I don't really even see what the point of that was.
I saw that as him just being so attractive in movie world.
Yeah, she was just into him.
Yeah, that's how
definitely
she's like I like a man who does not emote and who seems kind of angry at me all the time
and has attitude.
So that is a low point, but also like Gibbons comes back and he's like I told you should have killed that bee, and it's like weren't you the one who told me to like get information from her? What are you talking about?
I don't remember exactly what he told Ice Cube. Maybe Ice Cube just misinterpreted it as you should get information from her, and he's just kind of stupid.
Yeah, I don't know why Ice Cube...
And then he also... Ice Cube at one point called her Daddy's Girl, referring to Deckard. But I'm pretty sure she was not Deckard's daughter. Yeah. So that was also weird.
She wasn't? Oh.
I don't think so. She has a different last name.
Oh, I have no idea. But she could have been married.
I guess. Sure.
It wasn't shown, but...
I mean, nothing. The rule book says she can't be married. I'll allow it.
Anyways, her whole character just really confused me. I think that's another thing about this whole movie is that, like, they have so many, like, twists that just come out of nowhere and, like, you don't really even know to look for them because you're like, I don't even know who this guy is. Like, why would I be expecting him not to betray? You know? So I just didn't think that it worked at all. And also, like, the character was stupid and she was a bad actor. Do I have to say more?
Yeah.
Is that enough or is that enough stuff?
Okay, you know what? I'm going to counter your low point with a high point, though. Which is that, so Ice Cube is infiltrating a fancy formal dinner, and he does this by putting on a white tux and impersonating a waiter, which makes sense to me. I think that in DC formal functions, most of the wait staff does tend to be African-American and wear tuxes. And then when the bad guys are trying to track him down, the woman says, he's a black guy in a white tux. And then, of course, he goes into the service entrance and there's a million black guys in white tuxes. And I butchered this, but it did make me laugh when it happened. So I'm like, good for you, movie.
Yeah, that was a cute little moment where she was like, I meant for you to be like a party guest. And he's like, I fit in way better this way.
Yeah. This movie will occasionally try to say something about race. The fact that the director and writer are both white means that it usually gets in its way. But, you know, there's a couple of like, we don't trust the police type things. And, you know, in between also for some reason saying that black people are, I guess, like genetically good at carjacking or whatever the fuck it's trying to get at with all that stuff. Yep, I got a hum from Ronald. Okay,
I have a point. At the very end, it shows that Ice Cube now has a XXX tattoo on his neck.
Hell yeah!
You guys notice this?
No.
Yeah.
That was after the movie had ended.
Yeah, after the movie blocked. Oh, yeah.
Talking about he's dead.
Yeah.
It was the Anyway, was it trying to say that he got that because he didn't have that before?
Obviously,
he was born with this. Yeah. Obviously,
that's
no, but how could he, you're saying he had that the whole time?
No, he got it after he got it before the end of the movie and after
then
the
why,
events.
Why would he get that?
Because he's cool. Now he's XXX all good.
But it gives him away.
Because it's just like how Bond has a 007 tattoo. You know, so yeah. People know him.
His neck?
Yeah, but nobody knows what XXX.
No, on his face.
Yeah, he gets it on his forehead. Hey, his two eyes are the zeros.
And then just so fucking cool. Although it also kind of makes it look like he's got a raccoon mask.
I mean, is XXX even undercover?
He did an undercover scene. So I mean,
it's very
when he
unclear.
Was the waiter.
They say that XXX is a floating designation for special operatives with unique skills, which also means it wouldn't apply to Ice Cube because he doesn't seem to have any unique skills aside from sort of generic blackness.
Yeah, he can rob a car, I guess. Like, that's like one of the first.
He can go into the hood and people will know him.
I made this joke in the chat already, but like, I think that like when they were making this movie, they were like, okay, for the next movie, since we can't get Vin Diesel back, let's get a black guy for the main lead. Like, add a little diversity. And the executives were like, all right, I'll allow it, but he's got to be in prison.
And his main power has to be that he knows a lot of criminals and have them do crimes.
It's like, come on, guys. Can we just give him some credit here? Yeah.
Like, you're saying it would have been better if he was just, like, running some insurance shop somewhere.
You know what? If this movie had been Ice Cube as a forensic accountant who then gets in over his head and has to like suddenly discovers he's good at fighting, it would at least be a lot less expected than most of the things that happen in this movie.
Yeah, that sounds like a way more interesting premise, honestly.
Although, I mean, it would probably still suck because I don't think he has the acting chops for that, but you know.
Then they don't have the cool prison escape scene, though.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I've
where he jumps and then a helicopter appears from nowhere. I'm like, bro, you would have heard that. Like,
I've got a high point.
Helicopter. Anyways, Ronald.
So the director of this movie, Lee Tamahori. I was seeing what else he did, and I read his Wikipedia page. And apparently, he got into a cop car and offered offered the cop a blowjob. So
hell yeah.
That guy kind of rules.
Wow. Wait.
You got arrested for that.
Oh, I thought you were going to get at the fact that he also directed the like legitimately classic movie Once Were Warriors. But yeah.
Yeah, either way, you know.
Okay.
Wait, so you get arrested for offering someone a blowjob?
Apparently it was for trespassing into a policeman's car.
Well, the Wikipedia claims that he offered to perform a sex act in exchange for money. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he did it for money or not. That seems very suspect to me. Because I think he's like a pretty rich Hollywood guy.
Well, maybe he gets off on, you know.
Yeah, getting paid for it.
Being a prostitute.
You know what? It's kind of weird that he even got in trouble for that. But
yeah, okay, so one of the two Wikipedia sources on this, the headline says, Tom Ahori charges dropped, ordered to clean up Hollywood. Which does seem like they ordered him to like do community service by becoming a vigilante and cleaning up the mean streets of Hollywood.
Which I have no doubt he did.
Guys, yep. I don't know if this is the right guy for the job. I'm just saying. Oh, man. What a legend. What a good way to get arrested.
I know. If you go into the can, that's like a pretty good one.
Actually, it's probably terrible for going into prison.
Well, I like the idea that he figured out it was an undercover cop car, just went in there to fuck with the guy.
Yeah.
Anyways. Fuck it. Anyone got anything else?
No. I think I'm triple X'd out.
Yep. Like me after a weekend or a night where my wife's away.
Huh.
Man, I keep trying to joke that all I get are huh's from Ronald. Am I gonna have to cut that later? Probably.
You've done a lot of porn jokes on this one in the chat leading up to
this. It's really a bad name for a movie.
It is. To be fair, it is a very stupid name. I don't know what they were thinking. This is what I was thinking. Like back in like 2000 when the first one was made, they're like, what if we make a movie called XXX? People will see it when they search for porn.
Legitimately, maybe. That it's either that or them trying to prove how extreme they are. Yeah. Oh, you know what?
Attitude they have.
Apparently, Ice Cube does reprise his role from XXX State of the Union when Xander Cage, blessings and peace be upon him, does return.
Okay, so yeah. Ice Cube's in the next one?
Yeah.
Apparently even though they're both dead.
You gotta watch it. Wait, did Darius die?
Yep. That's my take on the situation.
All right. It's the afterlife.
I got another one. Apparently Samuel L. Jackson fakes his death in the next one, too.
God damn it. All right, stop reading about it.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to watch it. I don't know. Ronald, I don't think this
stomach for another.
It's not that I don't have a stomach. It's just that, like, is it worth it? This one wasn't a great.
I don't know. I mean, you want to get into what's worth it. You know, I don't know. What does that mean?
Podcast, not for just watching.
When are you going to be happy? You know, like,
if you think about it, I mean, our time on this earth is limited and precious beyond words, and therefore basically nothing is actually worth it.
Well, really? Doesn't that mean that, well, then you'd be left doing nothing?
Yeah, so everything is worth it and nothing is worth it, you know?
Mm. You may as well watch all the Triple X movies.
Yeah.
Yep.
And none of them.
And none of them. That's a superposition.
Apparently, a constant state of unknown.
In the next Triple X movie, he needs to get information from a team of beautiful Russian hackers. And the way he solves this is he just fucks them all. And then there's a scene of him after the orgy, say, looking up at the camera going, the things I do for my country.
Yep. Oh, yeah. My prediction for this movie was that.
It's also my Vin Diesel. Okay. I don't really have that. I have a great enthusiasm for accents and very little skill.
The things I do for my country.
The things I do for my country. Listen. The things I do for my country. That's my Burt Reynolds.
Listo.
The things I do for my country. We're just doing fucking noises now. They're friend. Not even voices. Anyways, Ronald, you were trying to say your prediction for this film was?
Oh, my prediction for this movie was that Ice Cube was going to gun down a bunch of crooked cops and say, fuck the police. And, like, he didn't do that, and I was pretty disappointed.
Yeah, I think the one fuck was just the president telling his treachery, just vice president, like, that he didn't like him or something.
Yeah. Incidentally, pretty wasted.
The profit for the budget for XXX, which was Return of Xander Cage, which was made like 10 years later, is less than the budget for this movie. I don't know what that means.
It's possible that at this point, Ice Cube was trying to actually get an acting career and was trying to separate his identity from NWA, but I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, guess what this movie was called overseas?
What? Triple Z.
XXX squared, the next level.
Oh. Huh.
I kind of like State of the Union. I'm not going to lie. That's part of the reason.
What State of the Union is overseas.
That's part of the reason. But.
You picked it because you just love the State of the Union speech.
I think it's just a great name for the movie. It's like, I don't even know what this means. Why is it the State of the Union? Like, I want to find out.
Yeah.
It turns out that was barely a part of the movie.
I don't know. They were going to attack the State of the Union. That's more than I thought there was going to be, honestly.
I thought
it was during
the State of the Union speech.
I thought they were going to do the speech, but they didn't do it. So.
Anyways, fuck it. Anyone else got anything? If not, let's go to recommendations and cautions, because we had so little to say, and we said it at such length.
We did talk about other stuff for a while.
Yeah.
Like the director giving a blowjob to a cop or something.
No, he didn't get to do it.
It doesn't say in Wikipedia that he didn't do it.
Oh, shit, it's ambiguous.
Says that he offered, but, you know, that offer could have been accepted or could not.
May have needed to verify. You never know.
You guys joke, but, like, apparently that's like a common thing for prostitutes.
Yeah.
Like, cops will actually like sleep with prostitutes and then charge them.
Apparently it makes the case like easier in court. And also, you know, cops just kind of like doing sex crimes, which that is a sex crime.
Yeah. Cause they didn't pay.
Anyways, fuck it. Enough of this talk of sex crimes. Let's go to recommendations and cautions.
Okay.
Don't sound so enthused, Ronald.
Let's do it, baby.
There we go. Anyways, Brandon, you want to go first?
Sure. So, first recommendation is a movie called One Cut of the Dead, which is a Japanese zombie movie. And the general premise is that it's supposed to be a one-shot movie. And it's being filmed in this abandoned, like, water treatment plant kind of place out in the woods. And it starts for the first like 20 or 30 minutes. It's kind of weird and slow. And I was like, why am I watching this? It was very annoying. And then it kind of like takes a bit of a turn and it gets dramatically better very, very fast. And it ends up being, I think, an amazing movie. But I don't really want to say too much else about how it gets there. So... I'd say check that out. It's I don't know. It's really good. I think
sweet. That's a great Halloween one too.
Yeah. And I think my other recommendation is I started rewatching the first season of a show called Castle Rock, which is a bunch of like characters and location are loosely based on Stephen King novels and short stories and whatnot. So it's set in a town in Maine, and there's like near the Shawshank prison. I'm not sure there's any other like big name things in it, but it starts off with a boy goes missing in the woods in the winter. He's missing for 11 days. Early on in his period of being missing, his father falls off a cliff, breaks his back, is on life support, and then dies. And eventually the boy is found without any signs of frostbite or even really being cold. Also it's important that he's black and he was adopted by this white family in like basically an all white town in Maine. So everybody's like really suspicious. They think that he pushed his father this boy never says where he was and he either doesn't remember or won't say. They all think he killed his father and they don't know where he was in the meantime. But then he leaves town, becomes a lawyer, and, you know, the town moves on. At Shawshank Prison, the warden kills himself. New management comes in. They're going through some of the old buildings that weren't being used and they find this kid in a cage, like not a cell, but like a separately built cage, And they don't know who he is. They don't have any records on him. They fingerprint him. Nothing comes up. And he asks for a lawyer who is that kid that went missing forever ago and moved away. So this kid, now a lawyer, like, has to come back to town, deal with all these people, like, find out what's going on with this kid that showed up in this cage in jail, try to get him out, and a whole bunch of other weird stuff is happening in the meantime. And I think that it has a sort of quality that I think a lot of Stephen King stuff has, where it's this sort of like soft magic that's very vague and mysterious, but not in a way that's like, at least not in a way that I'm annoyed by, or think that, you know, they don't actually have an idea, or they don't know what they're doing. It seems like it has a direction, it's going somewhere, or like there's something very mysterious and powerful behind it. And more stuff kind of like does start lining up. The last thing I'll say about it is that there's also two very funny episodes, like, that are right back to back, that have completely different tones, both from each other and from the rest of the show. And so one is like this very slow paced, kind of going through a bunch of pieces in time with this old woman's memories. And then the very next one is like this crazy murder themed B&B run by this couple that just moved out there. And it's very wild. So yeah, it's pretty good.
That's been on my list for a long time. Maybe that's a good Halloween one too, man.
Yeah.
You did good themed recommendations.
I will say I haven't seen the second season, but I will watch that when I get through the first season again this time.
Sweet.
Ronald, do you want to go next?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, and I've been thinking about recommendations and cautions, and these are less recommendations and cautions than like basically two random things that I watched in the past 2 weeks and I am reviewing. So I have two recommendations, but these are kind of like light recommendations. I didn't like love either of these, but I liked them well enough that they aren't cautions. The first movie I have is The Firm from 1993. This movie is directed by Sidney Pollack, who you might recognize him from directing like Tootsie and some other movies around the same time frame. This movie stars Tom Cruise as this lawyer, this hotshot lawyer who just graduated from Harvard. He's being courted by like all the best law firms across the United States, but he gets this amazing offer from a law firm in Memphis. And at first he thinks like, Memphis, like, why would a law firm in Memphis even like want to have me this bad? Like, wouldn't New York or Chicago or somewhere? But as he starts to work there, and they have this like really weird kind of culture, work culture there, where like everyone's married and like they all like, the firm seems to kind of like be guiding how they make their life decisions and stuff. He kind of starts figuring out that these guys are like working for a gangster, and they like blackmail all of their firm members. And so he has to like figure out what to do about that. And it's like a classic Tom Cruise where he's like constantly scrambling to do stuff, at least two sprinting scenes. And one thing I really liked about this movie is that like the score is just like a piano score. And the whole movie is done that way. It feels very like early 90s. And just the visuals and everything. It's you know, it's of a different era, but not in a bad way. I enjoyed the aesthetic of this movie. I don't think I'd really think about this movie that much. I think it was executed fine. And I had a good time with the 2 hours I spent with it, but I wouldn't necessarily go and rewatch it. That being said, if I'm going to give it a recommendation or a caution, I'd put it on the recommend side. Now, the other movie I'm going to recommend is a very different movie called They Cloned Tyrone from 2023, directed by Jewel Taylor. This movie is about... what's his name? Finn. I can't remember from the new Star Wars movies. He is the main character. He's really good. And he basically dies at the very beginning. He gets shot in like by a rival gangster because he's kind of like he's a drug runner, some kind of higher up. And there's this rival gang that's moving in on his territory. That's not actually that important to the movie, except the fact that it's true for him. And he's like fairly powerful character for his area, and he dies at the beginning, but then he like wakes up the next day and he's fine. And they go, and the movie continues on for them to find out that there's like a facility underneath the city that's cloning everyone in the city. And like, if anyone dies, they just get replaced by the clones. And it seems like possibly he's been replaced many times. And the movie gets kind of weird and crazy, but I like it. And it's kind of a comedy too. Yeah, it doesn't take itself too seriously, but it's kind of like a parody of I don't know, like sci-fi movies from like the 70s and kind of blaxploitation movies from the era too. But it was pretty good. I did enjoy it. I think it was pretty funny. I had a great time with it. Another one I might not like think about too much. I don't think it really had a ton of crazy stuff to say, but it was pretty interesting, and I liked They Cloned Tyrone from 2023. And that's it for me.
Hey, I'm going to go next. So I got a recommendation. Well, actually two recommendations. So I subscribe to the Criterion channel because they do these like Halloween collections every year that are pretty cool. So I picked it up, and they still have their Michelle Yeoh collection on there mostly. So I watched this movie called Royal Warriors, which is a Hong Kong like action flick from the, I think, early 90s, where Michelle Yeoh plays like a policewoman who just is so good at Kung Fu guys. And the plot, I don't really understand like most of the ins and outs and the melodrama, but it kind of doesn't matter because mostly it's just Michelle Yeoh doing really like intricate martial arts sequences and like fighting dudes. And it's really cool. And also the ending is like weirdly, I checked and this movie came out before Tango and Cash. And it kind of just is the ending of Tango and Cash because she gets like a bit essentially like an up-armored Humvee to the point where it's a tank and like launches a one-woman assault on a quarry to stop the bad guy from desecrating the corpse of the partner that he had already killed. But anyways, but it's very fun because it's just like Michelle Yeoh doing Tango and Cash, and goddamn, the stunts are cool. And then the other one, and this was also on the Criterion channel, mind you, is Tales from the Crypt Demon Night. And it is so funny to me that the Crypt Keeper is on the Criterion channel right now. But anyways, this is just like, there's a William Sadler, he's got like this mystic like thing going on, and a demon played by Billy Zane, and his sort of smarmiest is chasing after him. And William Sadler ends up in this small hotel and gets besieged, or like it's a former church, and gets besieged by demons. And it's got like a killer act of like a killer's row of like character actors. You've got Dick Miller and CCH Pounder and a bunch of other people who like I'm forgetting right now, but they're all incredible. And like that weird Tales from the Crypt like mordant humor. And there's this whole scene where Dick Miller, the demon that's tempting Dick Miller, and the way he does it is by making Dick Miller hallucinate like 8 beautiful topless women who are all trying to offer him hard liquor. And it's a great time. Billy Zane is giving an incredibly weird, like just like the devil, but like with smarm instead of menace. It's maybe the Billy Zaniest he's ever been. And I mean, he's pretty Billy Zany at any point. And yeah, just check it out. Very fun time. It's on the Criterion channel, like I said. And, you know, and that's it. Rahul.
Okay. I'm going to recommend Fargo Season 2. It was fantastic. Kirsten Dunst killed it. And that's the end.
What did you think of the aliens?
There weren't any aliens.
What the fuck? You just didn't pay attention, huh? The climactic shootout, man. A flying saucer.
There was no alien.
It's a fucking flying saucer.
That was the CIA. That wasn't an alien.
I don't think you're correct. Yeah, it was.
It was good, though. Really good. Highly recommend.
Okay. Anyways, you got a caution?
Nope.
Not even against having rotting windowsills?
Ugh, God. Yeah, I'd caution against rotting windowsills. Just kill me.
And finally, Rahul, do you have a plug?
I do have a plug, son of boy. I'm putting it in the chat. Yeah. Nice little video for you boys. Thought it was kind of funny in a weird way.
This is like more of that kitchen sink, dude.
I wish. That guy was a legend.
Actually, it was a hotel sink. Rahul sent us this video of a guy making pretty elaborate French onion soup in a hotel sink. And it it revolted all of us.
It's so disgusting.
It was disgusting. And I've seen a lot of disgusting
things.
Cooking videos.
What the fuck?
I love this video. She's just like, if your gums are like this, you need to go to a dentist.
My guys, God.
I don't think you should click
Why? That. Why Brent, would you send this?
You know what? I'm not putting that in the fucking show notes.
So she's like, all right, guys.
Yeah, if your video, gums are
if your
dancing.
Your gums look like this.
Like, yeah, no shit. Yeah, like, you start making videos like, if your hand starts falling off, yeah, like, exactly. Maybe go to a doctor.
If you have leprosy and your nose is no longer attached to your face, maybe think about seeking medical care.
Dear God, dude. Give us a warning if you're still linking stuff like that.
You know what?
Jesus Christ.
Because Rahul has, I think, forfeited his right to do plugs for a while. And I'm not clicking your links anymore.
Good. Maybe you'll learn.
I have a plug, which is that last night at around 2 a.m, I got up to feed my kid. And I discovered that our dishwasher had broken and it was full of stagnant water. So I'm trying to fix it while feeding the screaming baby. And I'm like, you know what I should do right now? Whip out my phone and try to find an analysis of the ending of Skinamarink. So I did that, and that was kind of a mistake because it also included images of the ending of Skinamarink. But then YouTube's like, oh, you want to be horrified, huh? And started recommending me horror short videos. And if you just want to be absolutely terrified out of your mind, and just get up at 1 to 2 a.m. in alone in your house and start watching horror shorts on YouTube.
I've actually done that.
Yeah.
It is absolutely terrifying and makes you question your whole reality.
Yeah, they're it's the last great place where you can find shit that it feels like you shouldn't see and that maybe should be on the internet, you know? Huh.
You should link some good ones.
Yeah, link a good one.
Yeah, okay, I'll actually throw a good one into the Discord chat. This is one I called Portrait of God that I found last night. It is pretty fucking terrifying, I thought. Subtle, no jump scares or nothing, but the overall effect I found pretty unnerving. And I swear to Christ, nothing like Rahul's thing. Yeah, that thing, don't watch it now. You will have a bad time for the rest of the evening. Anyways, and from all of us at Bad Time Radio, you know what? If your gums did look like that, you should go to a doctor. I will say that. I don't approve of the video being tipped in, but... And
God damn it.
Don't worship Satan. It's bad for you.
If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag, or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, I was gonna gather it.